Good morning. It's a privilege to be up in front of you this morning. Bear with me, I might be a little anxious. It's my first time speaking before this congregation. Thank you. We're going to be talking about the heart of a steward today. And it's something that's obviously near to my heart. It's has everything to do with our Christian walk. You know, we often take the look at being a steward or talks about stewardship as the function and formality of doing our little Christian thing. But it really boils down to the heart is really where Christianity is lived out. I mean, the decisions we make in life are made with the heart. The heart is the springboard for every decision you make. And the thing about the crazy thing about the heart is that it's the very thing that can dismiss an idea or motivate us to pursue that very same idea. It's determined by our heart. So we're going to look at the heart. There's some basic, foundation I want to establish today in what we have to work with, because God has pretty much given us everything we need. But we're going to go through it. Bear with me. It might be a little laborious for some, but I think that in these scriptures, we're going to set some good foundation for that perception or perspective of our hearts, okay? So this is clearly not an exhaustive look at stewardship, because that's not my point. That's not what motivated me this week. In Genesis 2:7, God demonstrates his power to give life. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So we established that life comes from God. We in of ourselves didn't generate that miracle. God did. In Ephesians 2:1-5, God demonstrates that he's given the opportunity for a renewed life. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. So we have life, the renewal of life, then also, like I said, I'm going to run through these scriptures because this is just foundation stuff here. Romans 12:3, God demonstrates that he has given us a measure of faith. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So God has distributed a measure of faith to everybody. We have something to start with. You'll see through all these scriptures that God has given us something to work with in every aspect of our lives. We don't have to drum something up. We don't have to make something out of nothing. It's there already. In Psalm 139:13-14, you'll see that God has handcrafted each and every one of us. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that well. Fearfully and wonderfully made. For what? There's not a thing that man makes or creates or imagines that doesn't have a purpose. A very reason for its existence. One of my favorite illustrations is the clock. Because we all know what timepieces are. They tell time. Man invented the clock. And it does a pretty good job at what it was designed to do. But we need to realize that that's something that was man-made. Something made from imperfection still does a pretty good job. But God has created us within his perfection to complete a task, a purpose in which he has for us to do. Which brings us to Ephesians 2:10. There is a divine design in our lives. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do. See, there's a reason and there's a design. It's not an accident. The fact is that even those that weren't planned aren't accidents because God planned it. God created, he knit every one of us in our mother's wombs. He's still very much involved in that process. We take way too much credit for that. We are participants in that, but God ultimately is the designer, the engineer, and he also is the one that develops the purpose. He designs that purpose. And in John 15, verses 16 through 17, he says, "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you so you might go on and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." So God has given us all that is required. The question that we have to ask in living that out is what? For what? And that is each and every one of us, individual walk. Some are gifted in some areas, some are talented in others. Some have to find because they just haven't had the opportunity or the instruction or the guidance from anyone, brothers and sisters in Christ, or you know, being touched by those who have been touched by God to go out and reach these people. Ultimately, though, it's still the individual's choice to seek out what that purpose is. But in order to do that, there needs to be a heart. Before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about stewardship. Again, this is not an exhaustive talk about stewardship, but I just wanted to give a definition so we know what we're talking about, because I find that in the English language, though we all speak English, we don't speak the same language. So we're going to define stewardship tonight very simply. Simple guy giving a simple answer. Stewardship is the office, duties, and obligations of a steward. The conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So if we look at that, it's like, okay, there are so many different directions we can go with that. Our time, our money, you know, the basics, right? But what we're talking about is life, people, your job, your church, your community, your children, your grandchildren, that nasty neighbor that you don't like. These are all opportunities. These are all things that God has given so that we could then demonstrate what we were created to demonstrate. So that we could show the heart of God so that we could be that good steward with those things. Stewardship is a condition of heart. It clearly is not, we're going to get into that later. It's not about just the fundamentals, the function of a church. You know, be those cookie cutter, mechanical Christians that go out, this is exactly the way it is because the pastor said this, then he said this, scripture says this, blah, blah, blah. No, he created us all to fall under certain standards. However, we're all unique creatures designed and developed to do something uniquely that only we can do. And, you know, there has to be a movement in that direction because without that movement, there's no growth. Without growth, you're dying. If whatever it is in God's creation, if it's not growing, it's dying. You look at nature, trees, wheat, whatever, apple trees. If it's not producing, it is on its way out. So as we are Christian, we need to be growing and moving because we have this increase that God's calling us to. We don't have to take it, but God's calling us to do it because without that increase, we're never going to reach the potential or the purpose in which we are created. And if we wait too long, it's just going to get pushed out in front of us until we're no longer around, and then that purpose never gets done. Ever. Mama can't do it for you. Granny didn't prepare you for it. God has prepared you and has given you access to everything that he has so that you can, on your own, choose to seek out what his purpose is for your life. Right? So, if you don't do it, it just doesn't get done. And then there's just forever this gap in God's plan. There's not another part of the body that can pick up the slack. They do have to labor harder to get their part done. We've heard many sermons on the body and, you know, take the finger off and then the whole arm. You know, we've heard it. We know this stuff. But do we have the heart to consider and do something about it? 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now we've, obviously, I'm not going to have any scriptures you haven't heard before. This one is really all about, for this very reason, giving all diligence, that increase that I was talking about. What is all diligence? Well, is anyone going to argue the fact that all is everything? So everything we do should be done diligently with the consideration of what we should be doing. Not because it's form and function, but because our heart, because we know who God is. If you go back to God gave, God gave, God gave, God gave, God gave, right? You remember those where we started? When you consider those things that God has provided for us, that how hard is it to be to consider what's been done for us, what we can do for someone else? Because we were all lost once. There's some in here who might still be lost, but thank God they're here today to hear this. We were once fish, and we're called to be fisher of men. That's our calling. Everyone has that calling. Is it your ultimate purpose? No, it is part of what we are called to do. Everyone. See, because love isn't an emotion, because emotions are fleeting. They're just a gas, right? They're here for a little bit, and they dissipate. That's what feelings are. Love is a lifestyle. It's how we live. And we demonstrate every day the depth of our love. People see it. Spoken words are cheap, but how we live that out speaks volumes. And you never know who's watching. Only one for sure, because he's always watching. And he has great desires for your success and your potential being met. See, God gave his very best. He didn't go to the dollar store. So however you're pieced together, whatever street you grew up on, however mean or nice your parents were, God still gave you the very best, because ultimately he has a great purpose. Okay, so one of my favorite illustrations is, I can't remember, I think it was the Mona Lisa. Anyway, great painting, masterpiece, right? We all know the work. And we've got a fly. He lands on the masterpiece. Now, where he happens to land, everywhere he travels, it's red. So when Mr. Fly is asked, what's this all about? He says, it's red. Well, are you sure? Well, now you get a little ire out of Mr. Fly. Of course I'm sure. I've been here, I've been there. Everywhere is red, I'm telling you. The problem is Mr. Fly can't see the big picture, let alone comprehend the masterpiece in which it is. See, so often we're Mr. Fly because we get lost in our circumstance. This is just all there is. But there's so much more going on that the painter, the artist, right, knows. God gave his very best. He only asks that you give your best. Does that mean perfection? No. Thank goodness. But on any given day, if we're that considerate person, we're going to give our best. You know, if you happen to, you know, have hurt yourself, clearly if your back's hurt, you're not going to be able to lift that piano, right? So your best today is finding someone who can help. And a lot of times that's where we're at. We're not equipped to do every little thing that comes our way, but you know what? We can find help. We can point people in the right direction. We can live that out. But God does ask that we give all that we have. And all that we have, he gave. God's not asking you to give something you don't possess or don't have access to. Just your every effort in all diligence and in all things love. Because if we live that lifestyle of love, the rest of the stuff is irrelevant. We'll be that considerate person. You know, that person we want everyone else to be when they're dealing with us, right? I think if you actually looked at it that way, we're not so considerate ourselves. If we would be that person, I would lay a dollar bet that 80% of the world's problems would go away if everyone was that considerate person they expect everyone else to be. Just a thought. So a steward is one who administers anything as an agent of another. I love this other word, a surrogate. You're God's surrogate to the world. You're acting as an agent on his behalf to do and care for something that is valuable to him. Woo! Jim must have put some tear sauce on this thing. There's two typical approaches to life. Particularly in this, we're talking Christianity 101 here. It's the first is conservation. The definition of conservation is a planned management of a resource to prevent exploitation, destruction, neglect, injury, decay, waste, or loss. And the second is preservation, which is the state of being preserved, especially to a specific degree, as we do when we can, bottle, freeze, cure, dry, smoke, or pickle our food. That's the preservation process. These are the two basic approaches to Christianity. I got mine, and that's good enough. That's the preservation. The other is I got mine, but how great that is, I can share it. I can grow it. I could make it something that God called it to be, which is far outside my comprehension. Because thank God, his comprehension isn't limited to mine. See, there are, you can see these two styles, and I plan on going in all different ways, and I'm not going to. We can see the two styles played out in the parable of the talents. Pretty simple. We're all familiar with that, right? We've got the couple guys, they get some stuff, and then they go out. And with that, they demonstrate an active management of what they've been given because they've taken it, and they just didn't look at it. They didn't put it in a glass case, or they don't have it on display or on a bumper sticker on their car. What they have is taking what they've been given and invest it in the world they live in with a plan. Not just willy-nilly, not flippant or glib, but they actually had a plan to increase. The guy that was the preserver, he took it and buried it. It's safe. No one else knew where it was at, but that underlies the problem. This was a preservation approach. He hid it. And we all know the end of that story. A couple guys God was pleased with, or their master was pleased with. The one who buried it, not so good. Not so good. 2 Peter 1:8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus played out through our lives is productive and effective. For whose will? God's. For who knows better in this room than God? So many people want to be in control today. That's just a release for me. I don't have to be in control because God is. I could just press into him, let him be in charge, and then just do as I should. He gives you a great boundary, and it's much wider than telephone poles. I mean, this is the great plains. You can operate it. If you want to zigzag, do, you know, crawl on your hands and knees, do somersaults. Whatever you want to do, keep it in here, and you're going to do it right. When we operate outside those boundaries, and then we subject ourselves to all kinds of injury, decay, and whatnot. The increasing measure is what God is promising. For fearfully and wonderfully made and fully equipped by God. So where in there is the struggle for us to do what we know we should be doing. Because our heart says, because God speaks to our hearts to do it this way, we always cop out, not always, but more times than not, I'm honest. I mean, sometimes I just don't want to. But we do have the opportunity, we do have the access, and we are fully equipped through God, as we're going to hear from Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, we can do all things, as it says in Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So in whose strength are we operating? Good answer. The answer was his. See, we have to ask ourselves, who's Lord? Who's the Lord? Me or God? The one that has the power and authority or me? I often express this to people because they, I don't know, I'm weird that way. But anyway, I will not take no from someone that can't say yes. So I'm probably a little difficult when it comes to warranty. Because the question is can you tell me yes? And if they say, well, I don't have that authority. Well, then get someone that can say yes. Because why would I take no from someone that can only tell me no? It's ridiculous. So in the same way, here we are, we're dealing with what is possible out there through God, and we're letting our own insecurities, we're letting the world, we're letting the spirit of the air telling us, no. No, can't do that. No, you're not prepared for that. No, you're not a speaker in front of people. We say no, right? No, 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 no. God says yes. God says yes. So you're going to take no from someone that can't say yes, or it'd be much better to take no from someone that can say yes, but God more times than not says yes. Yes. Can I do this for you, Lord? Yes. When has he ever said no? When have you the last time you asked? Let me step out of my little sphere of comfort and say, God, use me. I don't know. Essentially, we're going to get out of here early, guys. Essentially, I'm talking fast. I feel like I'm like, I'm excited. Essentially, stewardship is the expression of love through our obedience to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an expression of love. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. So obedience is part of that equation. We're demonstrating our love for our God through being obedient to him and his calling, his purpose, and his ways. So this next scripture has been used a million times. I'm going to use it again because I love it. This is the words we all want to hear. And if you don't want to hear them now and then reconsider. Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come in and share your master's happiness. So a calling to action. Because love is an action. It's a verb. The consideration of purpose and living out love as a lifestyle. And that's it. That's all I got. New mic. Well, thank you for coming in today. And I just want to pray a blessing over everyone before we go so we can bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for every gift that you have given. We thank you for your heart. I pray today a blessing over every heart here. May God's mercy and grace be with everyone here. Every family that is represented in this place, may your hand be upon them, Lord. We thank you for this day that you have made, and we pray your blessing on it, Lord, and through this week. You are good. You are wonderful, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we pray a blessing on this week that you would encourage us, Father, that our hearts be touched and linked with your heart, that our spirits be led by your Spirit, that through the messages that you hear in this church, that this church would grow, not necessarily in number, but in spirit, that we'd walk in truth and righteousness, that we'd be that example for the world to see, that we would encourage those by the love we demonstrate through our life to know you and become part of this body or other bodies, which are all one body in Christ. We pray this and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.